I've got a disclaimer. I've been sick since, early December. Yeah. So I sound a little bit, actually, every time I come to Revive, at this time, I'm sick. All right. So this time, I really implemented what Pastor Vic taught. Just ask God why. Like, God, why am I sick? And that really helps, because every time I'm just thinking, okay, all right, I'm sick. All right. When I ask God, why am I sick? That really made me realize that perhaps God just, wants me to, let go of the physical so that I can be in touch with the spiritual. So that when I come here, I really know and we can really learn what it means to have my spirit revived. I'm not here for the physical revival. I'm here for a spiritual revival. And so I hope the same for you. Every time you come, I don't hope that you guys will be sick. I just hope that, you guys, when you come here, you will leave this place spiritually revived. So that, you go through the whole year and then you come back. And then you will be revived again, but to another level. All right? So that is, my prayer for all of you. So before we continue, let us just draw close to our God in prayer. Let's pray. Yeah, dear, wonderful Heavenly Father, Yahweh our God. Yeah, Father, indeed, blessed be your name. For because of you and our Lord Jesus Christ, that we who were once strangers have come together to become friends and brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ. Father, we just want to commit this time into your hands. And Father, we pray that, you will clean the lips of he who speaks, and you will bless the ears of he who hears. Father, we have come here to hear the words of yourself, and not the words of man. So Father, we pray that today you will grant us a listening ear, a sensitive heart, so that we will know and feel your presence and your guidance in our life. Father, we give you thanks for your commandments to us, because it is through your commandments that you give us meaning and purpose in life. So, Father, I lift up your name, pray all this for your glory's sake. Amen. Amen. All right, so today my title that was given, I kind of chose it myself, is I'm Not Good Enough. All right. Yeah, so I don't know why I chose that, but I guess I wanted to learn about this. I'm not good enough. But before I go into that, I just want to ask a simple question. What is peace? All right? We've come here. We're here. Supposedly, we are fighting for peace. But if we don't know what peace is, what are we fighting for? All right, we don't know. I mean, is peace a warm, fuzzy feeling inside of each one of us? Every time we, we're filled with a warm, fuzzy feeling. Is that what peace is? Or is peace, like, peace, man, or drugged up so that we are escaping reality? All right? Is that how we feel, peace is? I kind of like have this peace where I'm actually escaping reality. I don't think that's peace. Oh, is peace zoning out when your wife tells you to look after the kids, all right? Or to clean up the house? That can't be peace. That's just ignoring, all right? So we can't mix these things up, all right? And next time someone tells you to do something and you zen out, now that's not peace. That's called ignoring someone, all right? And that would actually create, more hostility and strife, within your relationship. All right. So peace comes from this Hebrew word shalom. All right. So I'm sure you all know, you've heard of the word shalom. And actually, if you take a look inside the Bible, this word shalom actually has a richness of meaning, right? It doesn't just mean calmness or quietness. In fact, there's another word in Hebrew for quiet, right? It's sheket. All right? If you ever go to Israel and you're among rowdy kids and then their mom comes along, you'll hear the mom say, sheket. All right? Which almost like, yeah, quiet down. No, shush. All right? But shalom is more than that. Shalom, if you take a look, is about, you know, people's well-being. When you say peace be with you, you're not saying to someone, shush. All right? You're saying to someone, all is well with you. All right? It also means prosperity. All right? Success in a person's life. All right? So, you know, I went into the scripture to see, you know, what else is there about peace? You know, something that I could, you know, learn about peace. And I came to, you know, Judges chapter 6, verse 24. All right, so what does scripture say about peace? So I turned to, you know, Judges chapter 6, verse 24. And this is what it says. Then Gideon built on an altar there to Yahweh, a name that Yahweh is peace. Today, to this day, it is still in Ophrah and the Abiezrites. All right. So here we see a mention of peace, and it actually says Yahweh is peace. All right. Yahweh is God's name. So in other words, God is peace. All right. So that's what I wanted to explore. What can I see what peace means from this particular verse or this particular incident? As you know, you've already seen here that it's about it happens in a story, you know, of Gideon, in which we will see later. All right. So here is a mention, Yahweh is peace. But then, you know, moments later, maybe one or two chapters later, this is what you see. This is what you read. All right? This is what you see, kind of. All right? Gideon leads 300 people, 300 men, to go and fight against 135,000 Midianites. All right? Goes up to them, says, "This is Israel." Okay, so maybe he didn't say that, but... What we actually see is that after he has this realization that Yahweh is peace, he goes off into battle, right? He fights in a battle. You know, at first I thought, oh, after this realization that Yahweh is peace, he would go up to the enemy and say to them, "Hey guys, God told me that you guys should leave, so please leave." And then the enemy was like, okay, I'll leave, all right? And then everything is peaceful. You know, that's what I, you know, would have thought that Yahweh is peace means. But here, no, what we see, that peace is more than that. And that's got me thinking, you know, I've got to rethink what peace is. All right? Or maybe another element of peace that I may not have considered before. Okay? So let's go back to the beginning of Gideon's story. I know this might be disturbing some people. Disturbs me a bit. So, it just wants to stay there. I don't know. All right, Gerard, time to go. Okay. So anyway, we go back to the beginning of Gideon's story. All right. And in Gideon's story, we see that in the beginning, it talks about, well, it says, it says here, "For it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites would come up with the Amalekites and the sons of the east and go against them." All right? So you see in the context here is that the people of Israel at that particular time, they were under oppression. All right? They were being bullied. These guys from another piece of land must have thought that Israel is just so rich in resources, let's come around and take all their things. All right? It's almost like, you know, if you were in a group project and you put in all that work, all right, and then a team member just never turns up until the last day. He turns up, and then you guys do a great job, and then he gets all the credit. All right? So this is kind of like what's happening. All right? These people are being oppressed. They're being bullied. I'm not sure if you guys have been bullied before. You know, have you guys been under oppression before? Well, I mildly have been under, you know, been bullied, you know, maybe in Australia for being a, I don't know, a small Chinese little guy back in elementary school. You know, some guy took my, you know, took my lunch, hid it, and then a few days later gave it back to me, you know. You know, I think we all go through something like that. But even if we did not go through the same oppression that Gideon went through, I am sure that you have gone through some kind of oppression. All right? It could be oppression from guilt. All right? Something that you may have done. For example, steal a pocket knife, you know, a shark pocket knife. All right? That is under oppression. All right? You feel that guilt that is really oppressing you. Okay? Or you may be, well, under the oppression of fear. You know, or, yeah, I think a lot of people here are very fearful of many things, right? Fearful of how people see you, all right? Fear of death, all right? Fear, I'll tell you what my greatest fear is. One of my greatest fears is public speaking, all right? I really am fearful not just of public speaking, but speaking in general, all right? So, you know, when Sean says he declined to speak, it was more like, oh, thank you, Sylvia Chan, for, you know, going off. So I can just say, hi, my name is Stan, and I humbly declined to say anything else. All right, we are oppressed by some kind of fear. We are oppressed, as we have seen throughout the weekend, by anger. All right, this feeling of anger that just pushes us to do things that we should not do. All right, or we may be oppressed by jealousy. All right, oppressed about being offended. You know, oppressed. Did I say anxiety? About anxiety. All right, something I have to admit that a lot of the times that I feel oppressed by, all right? Or you might be oppressed by some dirty little secret that you have to keep inside and you have no one to tell because everyone thinks that you are a good boy and a good girl, all right? In one way or another, we are oppressed. And it is under this context of oppression that Gideon finally realized that Yahweh is peace. So what can we understand about peace here? Peace is God's power of deliverance out of oppression. All right? That is what it means by you, when someone says, I have peace. It's not a warm, fuzzy feeling. It is power of God's deliverance from oppression. All right? And I really hope that for each one of you. But I'm not going to end here because apparently we have lunch at 12:30 and I get another hour. Yeah, that woke everyone up, yeah? No, I don't. No, I'm going to keep the schedule. So for the remainder of the time, I want to go through Gideon's story to see how God helped Gideon realize this peace. All right, realize this deliverance, experience this deliverance, so that perhaps we also can understand how does God deliver us? How do we experience God's delivering power in our life? How do we experience God's peace in our life? All right, we are very blessed to have men of old, men of God of old, who have gone through life experiencing God, so that when we read it inside the Bible, we have something to learn and something that we can imitate. All right, so I'm going to go back to Gideon's story. Now, Gideon is under oppression. Everyone else around him is under oppression. And this is what God does at first. All right? He appears, he's manifested through the angel, all right? And he am I not pressing this right? Okay. All right, so Israel is brought very low. And here it says in verse 11, the angel of Yahweh came and sat under the oak and was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joaz, a Brizeite, his son Gideon. And this, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. Okay, so we see that he's being oppressed. And then the angel of Yahweh, he appears to Gideon. And then he says to Gideon, Yahweh is with you, O valiant warrior. All right, these are amazing words. You know, it's just amazing how God is slowly helping Gideon understand what peace and this deliverance is about. He first of all says to Gideon, God is with you. All right? I think a lot of times when we're abandoned, when we're anxious, when we're fearful of something, all right, or we are being bullied in the physical sense, you know, in any sense, all right, we feel that God has abandoned us. It's kind of like, where is God? All right? But don't worry, because according to Scripture, when you feel oppressed, God actually wants to be with you. All right? He wants that. He hasn't abandoned you. Just because we don't feel him doesn't mean that he has abandoned us. In fact, he wants to be with us. And that is something that we have to understand. All right? He wants to be with us. And not only does he want to be with us, he also wants us to be valiant. All we need to be is strong and courageous. Aren't these the words that were spoken to Joshua? All right? Just be strong and courageous. I am with you. All right? This is what I want to tell you. All right? Now, what I find very intriguing is about this particular address. When the angel of Yahweh, he says to Gideon, all right? He says to Gideon, O valiant warrior. All right? I could see, you know, when this came up, Timmy Paul was like, oh, valiant warrior. Is he talking about me? All right, valiant warrior. Now, what is so interesting about this is that if you take a look at Gideon and what is being said about Gideon up until this time, he's not very valiant. All right, he is hiding in the wine press, threshing out wheat. All right, I don't know if you know the significance of that. All right, because back in those days, when you're threshing wheat, it should be an open area. All right? But because he's trying to hide it from the enemy, he's trying to hide it from the Midianites, he has to hide. You know, this Gideon at that time wasn't just someone, okay, you know, I'm just going to thresh my wheat right in front of the Midianites, all right, and see what they're going to do. No, he's not like that. He's hiding away. In other words, he's a picture of a very scared little man. All right, and so angel of Yahweh comes up to him and says, oh, valiant warrior. And you start to think, why? Well, I think in this particular verse, we can actually see that actually God is someone who sees a lot of potential in each of us. You may not have reached to the point of valiant warrior, but God sees much further than that. He sees there is potential in his creation. And that is what he says. That is why he says valiant warrior. And I think a lot of the times, we don't see that. All right? We see we're just a pile of rubbish. All right? Worse yet, we look at other people and say, oh, yeah. We don't say it, but we think it. Right? Now, I got to admit, you know, when I came here, especially this time, I don't know why, when I came here to Revive, I knew I was talking about, you know, well, I feel very inadequate. You know, I felt very not good enough. I guess because I have to feel that, because that is the topic I chose. But no, actually, literally, I felt that I was not good enough. I was inadequate, you know? And I started to ponder upon Pastor Victor's message again. Why do I feel like that? Why do I feel inadequate? Why, all right, do I feel that I am not good enough? And that question, why, is very important if you ask it with the right attitude towards God. And God just opened it up to me and said to my heart, you feel inadequate because you are comparing yourself with someone else. Right? I listen to Pastor Vic. He comes up, you know, and when he teaches, when he preaches, it is with power, both physically, right? I don't think he needs mics. Right? Both physically and both spiritually, right? I think you can all agree with that. Right? He is able to put a very profound concept into very simple terms so that we can leave that place just asking why. All right? And then, of course, there is Josiah Kane. He's got the charm and the looks of Ed Sheeran. I mean, you look at him and you think, yeah, loving is hurt, but he's able to heal you, you know? And how can I compete with that? You know? And then you look, of course, at Jacob with his long beard. Right, you feel like you're listening to Abraham Lincoln. You know? Like, wow, you know, the father, you know, of you know, I don't know, it was civil rights, or you know, he did something great, and you look at him and you just hope he doesn't get shot, you know. You know? And he just keeps on going on, you know, by the power of God. How do you compete with that? And then I go to a workshop, go to my wife's workshop. She did a beautiful job. You know, I was nodding and nodding. I felt like my head was about to fall off. And everything she said just made sense, you know? And then, of course, you know, Sean comes up. Wow, this guy, he's Superman, you know? He's like, you know, looks after, he's got four kids, not just kids, four boys. All right, it's four boys. He, you know, he's got a podcast. You know, he looks after a church, and he's able to train from limping to, you know, running a marathon. And you know, how does one compete with that? All right.
Not a marathon.
Sorry. So the whole point here, God was revealing to me, why do I feel inadequate? For a very simple reason. I feel inadequate because I am comparing myself with someone else when God has made me who He wants me to be. All right, there was a prayer, sorry, there was a scripture reading this morning in which I really appreciate. We are fearfully, wonderfully made, all right, to be unique. You know, I'm not supposed, you know, to be like Jade. I'm not supposed to be like Jess. All right, or Vic, or anyone else here. You know, God made me to have the potential, you know, to be who He wants me to be. And all the one thing I need to focus my eyes on is to the conformity of my Lord Jesus Christ. But even that is not in the physical things. It is in His spiritual characteristic that I should be aiming for. Right? So here you see, you know, why do we feel that we are not good enough? maybe because we are comparing ourselves. And when we do that, we feel anxious, right? We feel trapped and controlled, right? But we must realize God made each of us differently, and He sees the potential in each one of you. And that is what He is saying to Gideon. And that is how He is helping him to deliver out of oppression, right? Out of something that is controlling him. But what was Gideon's response to this? All right, well, as we can read on in verse 13. All right, and then Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if Yahweh is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all His miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not Yahweh bring us up from Egypt?' But now Yahweh has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." All right. So isn't it true? Like sometimes, yeah, we know that God is real. We know that God is powerful. All right. We know that God kind of knows our potential. All right. But where is He? All right. He experiences, she experiences, the people of old. Wow, every time you read the Old Testament, it's amazing. All right. And then you come to the New Testament. Jesus, like, boom, healed. Boom, forgiven. Boom, you know, demons are cast out. All right. But for us, where is God? All right. And that kind of, you know, brings us down. All right. Where is God? Oh, why am I stuck with all these problems? Well, how does God respond? God helps him once again. In verse 14. All right, in verse 14. It says, "Yahweh looked at him and said, 'Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?'" All right. What was God's response in helping Gideon get out of his oppression? He gave him a job, right? Isn't that amazing? You know, instead of, you know, God going up to Gideon, "It's okay, you know, like, you know, you got potential, it's okay." He gave him a job, all right? And that is God's way of getting us out of this oppression by first taking the focus off from ourselves and putting it onto the commandment of God, which is to help others, to love others, to help others get out of oppression, all right? And it really works, all right? Every time, if you ever feel that you are depressed, go, instead of thinking about how depressed, how, you know, poorly I am treated, how poorly my situation is like, you go and find someone who you know is depressed, all right? But don't go together and say, "Oh yeah, I'm depressed, you're depressed," and then, you know, then each other gets depressed. No, go with the Spirit of God that encourages. Do unto others what you want done unto you. Isn't that the Lord Jesus' golden rule for each one of us? Why do you think He gave us that rule? All right, so that He wants us to do this and do that? No, so that we can get out of ourselves. All right, so that we may be His vessel to help deliver other people out. You know, I experience this all myself. You know, in preparing for messages, in preparing for teachings, I find myself being the benefactor of the message, right? When I try and help, you know, other people to understand God's word, I have to first understand it first, right? Otherwise, I'm just churning out, you know, sometimes just Bible verses, you know, and not really understanding what it is, right? No, when I try to help other people to understand God's will and God's word, I have to first understand it, right? And by understanding it, God has helped me get out of whatever situation it is that I am in, all right? So if you ever find yourself being oppressed, all right, or you find yourself in a situation where you are depressed or you're not good enough or whatever it is, ask God to give you that power to stop thinking about yourself. I know it's very difficult because in this world, it is always telling you to think about yourself. All right? It is always, "I this, I that, iPod, iPad, you know, I this, everything is I." All right? But no, God's spiritual principles are different. If you want God's salvation in your life, you got to ask him to kill the self, all right, and go out and do his work. All right, and so we continue on. Well, this is Gideon's response to God's solution, all right, in verse 15. Verse 15, it says, he said to him, all right, O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. Right? I think there's a little bit of, you know, back and forth going on here. But I think that's okay because, you know, Gideon went back and forth. God also allows us to go a little bit of back and forth here. But what was, you know, Gideon's response here? You know, he says, okay, God is trying to help him, giving him a job to get out of oppression. Ah, when he starts hearing this, I think just like a lot of us, all these excuses come up. I'm not good enough. All right, I know you want me to help someone, but I'm not good enough. Matt's good enough. I'll pray for him. I'll pray for him to go and help someone. All right, I think that's a lot of times that we think. All right, and we come out with all these excuses. Well, what do you think God's reaction to that is? Okay, looks like you don't want to do it. No, God does not give up because he wants to deliver you out of your oppression. All right, he wants to deliver you out just like he delivered Gideon out. All right, he's very patient, and in verse 16. Yahweh once again, all right, says to Gideon, surely I will be with you. You shall defeat Midian as one man. Once again, God reiterates a very important thing, a reminder, a reassurance, all right, to Gideon. I am going to be with you. That's all that matters. All right? And I think that is something that we have to learn. Right? To know that God is with us. Right? I'm reminded about a story. And this happened in the Second World War. Right? And there was a lady missionary all the way from Britain. She came all the way to China to preach the gospel. And at one stage, she was looking after an orphanage. Right? But during that time, the Japanese troops were coming in. Right? I think a lot of the times we hear about, you know, the war being in Europe. Right? We don't really hear about the war being in China. Well, here I am to let you know, actually. There was also a Second World War going on in China. And these Japanese soldiers, they were coming after. And then they were coming over, nearing the orphanage. Right? They're nearing the orphanage. And this lady missionary, her job was to take the kids in the orphanage all the way to a sanctuary city. Right? And while she was taking these kids to a sanctuary city, they came to a river, right? Not just a small creek, right? Not just like the rainwater, you know, that's outside there that you can just, you know, climb over or just step over. No, this was a huge river. And when they came to the river, they didn't know how to cross, but they knew that the Japanese troops were coming over and they're going to get those kids, right? And so this missionary lady, she was panicking. She's like, God, what am I going to do now? All right, you have brought me thus far. How can I take them over? She didn't know. All right? And then one of the kids, bless their hearts, you know, children purity is very pure. All right? One of the kids said to the lady missionary, well, why don't you just take, you know, us across, just like how Moses took the people across the Red Sea, all right? And then she was like, I'm not Moses. And then this little kid goes, I know you're not Moses, but Yahweh is still the same God who took the people across. And he is the same God that we worship today. And so Gladys was like, Well, I taught that, so So she prays, and the next day, there are fairies coming over from the other side, just miraculously coming over. And then they were able to just put the kids there and just go across, right? It's amazing. You know, we may be weak. God knows that you are weak. He made you, created you. Don't you think that he knows that we are weak? Right? But he is able to, because he is there, that's all that matters. Right? That is what we need to know. All right? Anyway, so after this, we continue on with the story. And I think Gideon, at this time, yes, he's got a lot of assurance, but he's still a little bit of afraid. All right? And so he asked God for a sign. Right? I think we can echo with that. Yes, I know, God, you've promised me that, you've promised me that, but I want to have a sign. And Gideon asked for a sign. Now this, but what I want you to take notice here is that the way in how Gideon asked for the sign. Did Gideon ask for a sign in a challenging way? You know, hey God, you want me to do this? Okay, give me a sign. No, if you take a look properly, the way that Gideon asked for a sign was that he went back home, prepared a goat, prepared some unleavened bread, prepared some broth, and brought it all the way, right, to this angel so that he can get a sign from this angel. All right? Now, what does this tell us? Well, I think from his attitude, you were able to see that, yes, God is willing to give us peace. But are we willing to pay the cost? I think a lot of the times we want peace. We want peace. We want world peace. But are we willing to pay the cost? Are we willing to give up something so that we can have peace? There might be a lot of idols in our lives. There might be a lot of hindrances in our lives. Are we willing to give it up, right, in order to experience God's peace? Right, that is something very important. Right? Now, as we continue on to see, what is this cost? Right? Well, when we continue to read, after Gideon had brought all this goat, the broth, and the unleavened bread, you know, to the angel of God, this is what happened. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. Do you understand what's going on here? Gideon has prepared a goat, you know, and it's not cheap. You have to remember, these guys were under oppression. They don't have a lot of food. And so he went to the effort of preparing this goat. And I'm sure it's very good. If you've ever been to Israel and they serve and you've had some of their goat, it is delicious. All right? And it takes time to prepare. And not only that, he also had to use effort into making that bread. And not only that, he prepared the broth. He spent all that effort and then he went over to the angel, hoping. What do you think he was hoping that this angel will do? Eat it, right? But instead, the angel said, okay, now put that goat onto that piece of rock. What? Right? I spent all that time trying to make that goat so that you can enjoy, and from there I get a sign, and you tell me to put it on a piece of rock? And then what? Pour out the broth? Hey man, you know, if you want to waste it, you know, please just give it back to me, you know, so that I can drink it. If you don't want it, I want it. All right? So he's looking at that. He's probably looking at that. All right? But what was Gideon's reaction when God told him to do what he probably is thinking is totally illogical? Right? He did so. All right? The cost that Gideon was willing to pay was total obedience. All right? That is something that we have to understand. If we want to experience God's deliverance in our life, we must exercise total obedience. All right? Just like how Gideon did. And it's very amazing. When Gideon exercised total obedience, what happened? Then the angel of Yahweh put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. He used his staff. He's touching, right? This unleavened bread and, well, the meat. And fire sprang up. Whoa. Fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. All right. Poof. Just consumed it. I mean, if you thought that was amazing, can you imagine, you know, during that time, it's consumed? And then the angel of Yahweh vanished from his sight. Poof. All right. All right, just a bit of theatrics. But I hope you see, when Gideon was willing to be totally obedient to God, God gave him something beyond his expectations. That is something that we have to understand. A lot of the times we think, oh, I got to obey God, oh, because he's such a control freak. No. Total obedience leads to something beyond your expectations. All right? That is God's deliverance in our hearts. Going to give us something that we can't even imagine. And that is something I hope that you experience today. You guys have come all the way here with the right attitude. If you say to God, I am going to totally obey you, and you exercise that, I guarantee you, you will experience God in ways that is beyond your expectation. All right? And I just want to end with this particular sharing. There was this pastor friend of ours. He just shared with us a testimony. And, you know, when he became Christian, you know, he was following God. And I think he was in his early stage of, you know, becoming a Christian. And he felt a sense that God was telling him to give up three things. All right? One of these things was to give up playing bridge. Right? You think playing bridge? Come on. Well, to him, it was his favorite game. It's like League of Legends to some kids. All right? But then he was thinking, wow, this is so illogical. But he felt that God was telling one of the things. I'm not going to go through all three of them. One of the things was to give up bridge. Anyway, this posed a problem because his wife's family loves to play bridge. All right? And that was part of how the family comes together, right? They come together and they play bridge, right? And so that week he goes over to the in-laws, and then he announces he's not playing bridge, right? And then his wife is like, oh my goodness, come on. You know, you should have told me this before we got married. I mean, what are you doing? A party pooper? Come on, my parents are here. They love bridge. You know, bridge is actually a good thing. You come together and you're able to talk with each other. Why do you need to give it up? All right? But he's saying to his wife, no, God is telling me to give this up. All right? And then so, you know, obviously the in-laws are like, gee, you're weird, man. Is this what becoming Christian is supposed to be like? All right? But he said, no. Christians don't have to give up bridge. But I know in my heart, God has told me to give this up. And when he said that, the father-in-law was very intrigued. He was like, why are you giving up bridge? Right? And then the pastor said to him, because God told me. And then the father-in-law was like, oh, God told you? Who is this God? What is he about? And then so this pastor, he started talking to this father-in-law about the Bible. And then the father-in-law suddenly got very interested in the Bible. So interested to a point where they no longer play bridge. And it was like a weekly Bible session after that. I mean, like, who could have designed something like that? No one could design something like that. All right? I mean, you could try and pressure someone, read the Bible. Do you think that they're going to read the Bible? No, right? Unless Pastor Vic says so. You know, then you might read it. Right? But he can only be in Rhode Island. And I heard that Rhode Islanders don't go anywhere. Right? So you got to go over there, right? Right? See, sometimes God might tell you to do something that goes against conventional wisdom. Right? Totally something that you think is totally illogical. Right? But if you obey him, he is going to give you something, an experience that will be beyond your expectations. Right? And so, although I have a few more points, but time is up. I don't want you guys to have, you know, peace in sleeping. But as we end, I want you to know what peace is about. Peace is about God's power of deliverance in our lives. And I pray, I really do pray, that as you go forth in faith, trust him totally, obey him totally, you are going to experience his power of deliverance and his power in your life. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Yahweh, our God, Father, we come before you and ask you to realize the potential in each one of us. Father, we pray that you will use the remaining time that we have at this camp to give us clarity into your will for each one of us. Father, I pray that you will be pleased to grant us your peace, your power of deliverance in our life, not just so that we can be delivered, but we may become vessels of your deliverance for other people. Father, you are the great God, and we give everything unto you. Pray that you will grant everyone joy and peace as they depart from this place. Glory be to your name, and I pray all this in our Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.